God's word from Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and all their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and unto thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. Remember, we were talking last Sunday and the Sunday before, and I said, don't ever look down on young people because God can use them. Don't look down on women, because God can use them. Don't look down on this. Well, let me tell you something. When you look at this scripture, recognize that you don't get too old for God to work with. God has spoken to Abram when he is 99 years old. Wow. And you know what? It said the Lord appeared to him. Now, I don't know what the Lord looked like. I don't know if he appeared in a vision. I don't know if he appeared in a dream. I don't know if he came and stood there physically in front of him. I don't know, but the Lord appeared to Abram and began to talk to him. And he identified himself. Abram was getting on in years, 99 years old, and he has no children. That's not exactly true, but he has no children of promise and legitimate children. He's traveled for God and with God most of his life, but he's had a hard time. Now, the Lord identifies himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. And God Almighty has come down to speak to Abram. And he's come with a message that Abram don't quite know how to digest or what to do with it. But I have to tell you one thing before we go on with this. We're talking about God Almighty. We're not talking about a slang term or a cuss word. I am so disheartened everywhere I look, all kinds of people, good people, bad people, uptown people, downtown people, all kinds of folks, I hear them. The byword nowadays seems to be, oh my God. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to say that, you mean it. If you're going to talk about him, you mean it. But when we say God Almighty, and he identifies himself as such, God Almighty, that's not a slang word, my friend. There is a God in heaven who sits on the throne of his glory, who controls the whole universe and created everything that's in it. He is not a toy. He is not to be played with, and he is not to be spoken lightly of. And fact is, he forbids us to use his name in vain. But we consistently do it. Oh my God. My friend, that's a wonderful thing to say if you mean it. But you might not be so happy in some of those situations if he happened to show up. So we're not talking about a slang expression this morning. We're talking about a living God who is the creator of all things. Now, he has spoken to Abraham. And sometimes, folks, when we read the Bible and we read all these wonderful things that God has done in the scripture, it sort of hits us that God was just every day talking to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the people. You read, and God appeared to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. And that turns out to be 3 or 4 or 5 times in the scripture that it says that in the narrative. Well, folks, it's been 13 years since God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abram 13 years, a little more before this. And it's been silent. There has not been a word. God has not said anything to Abram. I certainly hope Abram's been saying things to God. I'm convinced he was and was in prayer. But there had been no communication from heaven. 13 years, Abram had been sitting and waiting. And suddenly God shows up. Now you have to wonder about the marvelous grace of God. Abraham was not always Abraham. He was Abram. And he was not always in the Holy Land. He was raised in Mesopotamia, what we would call now Iraq and Iran. He was raised in Ur, little village. Well, it wasn't a village, city, on the ocean over there. It's two letters, U-R. And that's where he lived. And while he was living there, the New Testament talks about him and says he was worshiping dumb idols. And he lived his life, his young life, most of his middle-aged life, he lived in Ur of the Chaldees. And he worshiped dumb idols. And he was a heathen. He was not any great spiritual entity. And yet God, looking down from heaven, looked in his heart, saw that it would be in his heart to serve God, and God spoke to him in Ur of the Chaldees and said, get you up out of your father's house, away from your kindred and all these people worshiping these idols, and go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham obeyed God. He got up and he started. But I think maybe that Abraham's journey might be like the journey that we take. We look at these people, we think they were perfect. Abraham had trouble ever since he left. First of all, he did leave, but he did not go to the land of Canaan. He went north and stayed with his father and his nephew and his wife, who was also his half-sister, by the way, and his servants and all the people that were with him. And he traveled north out of Ur of the Chaldees. He could have gone straight across to Israel, but he follows the rivers, goes up the Euphrates, Tigris rivers toward what we call Turkey today. And as he goes up, he travels to a place called Haran, and he stops. He doesn't continue going on to the Promised Land. He stops. And he waits. Oh, you say a day or two? No, a few years. He waits till his father's dead and his nephew Lot is grown. And then the Lord, and this is so amazing, folks. Can you believe the Lord puts up with us? Can you believe the way we do, the Lord takes care of us? But he does. And Abram, God has determined to help him. God has determined to use him, and God has spoken to him, but Abram has not obeyed the Lord totally. He started, then he took a detour. Wonder how many of us have done that in life. We pray, we read, and then we take a detour. But there's one thing about a detour. If you pay attention to it, there's a way back. If you take a detour from God, there's a way back to God. Their door is always open. I'm always impressed with the parable of the prodigal son. And the hero of the story need not be the son, but needs to be the father. Because all the time the son's off raising Cain, that's a polite way to put it, eating out of the hog pen, running with the bad women, wasting everything that he ever had that his father had worked so hard for. And yet one day when it comes to that boy that he needs to go home and straighten up, when he goes home, what does he find? He finds out that his father has been standing by the door watching for him to come. And when he sees him coming back, He don't wait for him to get to the house. He jumps off the porch, runs down the road, grabs the boy up and hugs him, gives him a bath, puts him on a ring and some shoes and a new cloak, and says, kill the fatted calf, get out the good stuff, and put out the best china, because we're going to have a celebration, because my son that was lost is now found. Wow, God was there for him. Abram found out that he might take a hiatus from God, but God has never taken one from him. Abram found out that he might have stopped along the way, he might have detoured along the way, he might have had troubles along the way, and he did. He had troubles with himself, he had troubles with other people, he had wars to fight, he had burdens to carry, all of these things. And yet, God still deals with him. He worshiped dumb idols. He was over there with the heathen in Haran, but when God spoke to him this time, said, same message, get up from among your kindred, get up from among your people, go to the land that I will show you. And he continued his westward journey into Canaan land. And when he got there, God dealt with him. Now, the thing that Abraham had a problem with, it wasn't just taking a little detour, but it was trying to do the work for God himself. Because he waited, and he waited, and he waited. What's he waiting for? God had told him, you're going to have children. You're going to have descendants. He said, Abram, look at the stars up there. Can you count them? No, he can't count the stars. Even the scientists can't count the stars. There's so many. And he looks up at him. He says, I'm going to make your descendants so many that it will be like the stars of heaven. You won't be able to count them. Well, Abram, that's good news to him. That's wonderful news. And he considers, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and there's no baby. And he's getting older. And you may think that he's some Superman or something, but I want you to know he's not. Because the Apostle Paul writes about him in the New Testament, and he said he was as good as dead, as far as father and a child was concerned. And Sarah, his wife, well, he's 99, she's 89, and when he turns 100 and the Lord fulfills the promise, she's 90 years old. Now, I don't know how that would be to come home and tell your wife when you're 99 years old, the Lord just spoke to me. And she said, oh, that's great, that's great. And so what did he say? Said she's going to have a baby. Well. Hey, Abraham, have you been on the funny grass out there in the bushes or something? What are you talking about, man? You're 99 years old and I'm 90 years old and we're going to have a baby? Oh my. So you have to wonder when he looks at it, how in the world can that be? They have passed the time of childbearing a long time ago. But 13 years ago, when Abram he was then, was 86 years old, he did father a child. And the reason he did was because they waited every day for all those years and there never was a baby born. You know what would have happened if the baby had been born when Abraham was 50 years old? Nobody would have believed it was a miracle. Everybody would have said, meh, every once in a while it happens in middle age. People would have passed it off. But when the man is 100 years old and the wife is 90 years old, and they have a baby, that gets somebody's attention. In fact, is that gets every human being's attention that knows anything about human beings at all. And that's what happened. God told him it would be, and they waited all those years, and it never was. And by the time he was 86, Sarah said, I don't know, God must have some other way, some plan to do this, because it sure ain't happening here. So Abraham and she talks to him. She's got a servant girl named Hagar. She says, let her have the baby. And there was a custom for this. When the baby would be born, the mistress would actually be on her knees and would receive the baby, and it would be the mistress's baby. Not biologically, but legally, and by custom, it would have been the mistress's baby. So Sarah convinces Abraham that's the only way to do that. And sure enough, there's a baby born. Hagar is a Egyptian servant, and she has a baby, and they name him Ishmael. And when Ishmael is 13 years old, that's when this scripture in 17 takes place. Ishmael is 17 years old, and the question comes up. What? I am the Almighty God, and Abraham, you're going to have a baby by Sarah. You know what Sarah did when she heard that? You remember what the scripture said she did? She laughed. She was standing behind the tent curtain cooking dinner, and she laughed. She said, an old man like him, an old woman like me, have a baby. And she laughed. And the person that was sitting there talking to her said, why did you laugh, Sarah? Oh, I didn't laugh. Said, yeah, you was behind the curtain and I saw you laugh. Let me tell you something, my friend. There were three men that came walking down the road. And Abraham was sitting under the cool of the tree. And he looked up and saw the men coming, and he jumped up, he's a very hospitable person, and he ran to them and said, come on in and take dinner with me. And he gave them water to wash their feet, he gave them cool milk to drink, he had Sarah make bread and cooked a lamb, and my friend set out a feast before them. And it was a wonderful thing. And you know what? When they left and started down the road, one of them sort of stayed behind and walked with Abraham. That was God himself, a theophany. God himself was visible in a human form. And he talked with Abraham about what he was going to do and how he was going to live and the things that were going to be. And you have to wonder in Abraham's mind, in Sarah's mind. The fact is, Abraham said, well, he had another solution besides Ishmael. He said, this is my servant that's been in my house ever since he was born, and he's like a son to me. His name is Eliezer, and said, Eliezer can be my son and inherit all I've got. God said, he's a fine man. He's a wonderful person, but he's not the one. And God, in his wisdom, keeps telling them, Sarah is going to have a baby, and it's going to be yours, and he's going to be the one to inherit everything and be the blessing. And they have to ask the same question that Mary asked when the angel came to her. You remember when Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord, was approached by the angel Gabriel, and he told her she was going to conceive and bear a son? What was her reaction? How can this be? How can this be? How can it be that I have never been with a man? I have no opportunity to become pregnant. How could it be that I'm going to have a child? How can this be? I can tell you, how can this be for Abraham? This wouldn't be the virgin birth, but I'm telling you, and I'm convinced Sarah must have been the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm positive she had to be the most beautiful woman in the world at the time. You say, why would you say that? Well, how many people in their 80s think their wife is so beautiful that the kings would see her and want to take her and marry her and kill him to get her? I mean, how many old guys in their 80s and 90s would think that of their wife, who was also in her late 70s or early 80s? How many would think that? Abraham thought that, and he was right. He was right. The king of Egypt saw her, and she was so beautiful. She was everything he could think a woman should be. You say, at that age, she was everything he thought a woman could be, and he wanted, and he was mad at Abraham when he found out he'd been deceiving him. Abraham had taken another hiatus and gone to Egypt. You say, how come? Well, God told him to go to the Canaan land. He didn't tell him it'd be a rose garden, and they had a famine, and he was wondering, how are we going to feed these cows and horses and chickens and whatever we got? How are we going to feed these kids? How are we going to take care of these servants? So they took everybody and went to Egypt, and left the promised land, the very place that God had told him to do. You see, my friend, we want to do what Abraham did. It wasn't that he didn't believe God. It's he thought God needed his help. It wasn't that he didn't believe God. He believed God, all right. But how's God going to do it? Well, I'll tell you how he's going to do it. We'll have to work this out. We'll use my servant. No, you can't use him. We'll have this baby. And they had him. And 13 years he had Ishmael. And he loved him. He loved Ishmael. He was a fine boy. He was a boy anybody would be proud of. He was a hunter. He was a warrior. He was a leader among men. Ishmael was like a wild man. You couldn't control him. And the whole deal is that Abraham thinks that he needs to help God. Do you realize 13 times in this scripture, 13 times God says, I will. I will. And you say, well, I thought you was going to preach on the Almighty God. Well, I tell you how it is, folks. I couldn't scratch the surface. I only got about 6 inches between these ears. My heart is for the Lord 100%. But I can tell you, my friend, I'm not smart enough to tell you all about God. I'm not smart enough to even scratch the surface of the Almighty God. The Almighty God. And I tell you what, when you begin to look at it and you begin to realize that God, how is this going to be? How is this 90-year-old woman going to have a baby? How is this 100-year-old man going to father a child? How are they going to raise it? How are they going to do it? My friend, God says, I will. I will. God Almighty. My friend, let me tell you something about God. God is omnipresent. You say, what does that mean? That means he's present everywhere all the time. He's omnipresent. God Almighty. Omnipresent. You say, well, how's that work? How's that going to be? Let me tell you something. God is present in the past. God is present in the present time. And God is present in the future. God is the only one that can talk about the past, the current times, and the future times, and be present at all times. God is omnipresent. The psalmist said, if I got up in the morning, and I took the wings of the morning, and I traveled with the sun, and I traveled all day in the sun till the sun come up again, how far would that be? 25,000 miles he would have traveled in one day. My friend, he said, if I do that, you're still with me. You're still present with me. He said, if I went to hell and made my bed in hell, you would still be with me. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you today, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere present at the same time, past, present, and future. And I tell you what else. He's geographically everywhere at the same time. Don't worry about straining God's resources because somebody you're praying about is in China. Don't worry about straining God's resources because you're here and they're there. Don't worry about straining God's resources if you're not here and you're the one that's somewhere else. I can tell you, my friend, he is almighty. He is over time. He is over the situations of the past, the present, and the future. He is omnipresent. And you know what else? He's omniscient. You say, what in the world's that? I'll tell you what it is. He knows everything there is to know. Now, we don't mean that in a smart way. We mean that in an intelligent way. There is no mystery with God. I look at the things that scientists are doing today. Do you see that rocket they're fixing to shoot off? Biggest rocket that's ever been. It's going to the moon and back. And then they're going to put some real people in it. There's some dummies in it now. Yeah, you take off in a rocket that big, you're real dumb. But there's some dummies in it now. And the dummies are coming out, and some real people are getting in, and they're going to the moon. And they're going to build a station on the moon. And they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And I'm amazed at how they can get it all together. I think it's in the case of the Tower of Babel. If God don't stop them, then nothing be withheld from human beings. They're fast unlocking the chains of life, chemically and biologically and physiologically, every way. It's amazing what they're doing. But let me tell you, my friend, God don't have to discover anything. He don't have to discover anything. He knows it all. He is omniscient. He knows everything there is to know because he created it all. He made it to start. I am amazed at the mind of God. I just sit on the porch and I look out, and here come a little hummingbird. And he looks like a little helicopter going. He gets that nectar out of that flower. He goes and gets another one. He carries it back and does what he has to do. I look, in one word, one time, one day, evening and morning were the day. In one day, God said, let there be fish in the sea. Every kind of creature that's in the sea and the water, let it be. And every kind of thing that flies in the air, let it be. You know what happened? Fish began to swim in the waters, and every kind of fish, crawdad, scallop, oyster, every kind of bird, buzzards and hummingbirds and whatnot, my friend, God spoke and in his wonderful will and word created it all. And in one word, my friend, created every animal that lives. Every animal that lives was created just in one word. Oh, the creative genius of God, my friend, God Almighty, Abraham and Sarah having a baby. Oh, that's just small potatoes and few in the hill. That's just a little bitty thing, my friend. God is the almighty, everlasting God who can do anything, who is everywhere present and what? And knows everything there is to know. And he is omnipotent. See, what's that? Omnipotent. I'll tell you what it is. He's got all the power that there is. We talk about how much power was in the bomb that was put on Nagasaki and Hiroshima in World War II. And the bombs we have now just dwarf them down to nothing. My friend, let me tell you something. The power of a hydrogen or atomic bomb, and God help us for the Russians or the people over there to not hit that power plant, that nuclear power plant, because if they do, there's going to be a wave of radiation go right out over parts of Asia and Europe. It'd be horrible. And may God put a kink in their plans. My friend, he is omnipotent. He has the power, not just the authority, but the raw power. You realize how much power that rocket will have going to the moon, how much thrust will be on it. It's nothing. God is omnipotent. He has the power. And you say, that's wonderful. They can make a rocket like that. That's wonderful. They can figure out a spaceship like that. It is. But you know what? You know what they can't do? They can't make that baby Ishmael. They can't make that baby Isaac. They can do all of that, but they can't create the human life. They really can't create the animal life, the bird life, or any of that, my friend. It's not there for them to do. So when we talk about Abraham hearing the voice of God, God says, I am the Almighty God. Wow. Hallelujah. He's everywhere present. He knows everything there is to know, and he has all the power that there is to have. And you know what? Let me tell you something wonderful. As great as this God is, as powerful as this God is, as glorious as this God is, you know what? He invested every bit of it in one person named Jesus Christ. He invested all of his knowledge, all of his power, all of his glory, all of his presence is in one person. You say, All of that's in Jesus Christ. I thought Jesus was a little baby born in a manger and lived a man's life and died a man's death and came back to life. Yeah, that's right. That's true. And you know what was in him? You know what the writer of Colossians says? I'll tell you what he says. He said, in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He created everything, and everything he created was by him and for him. And my friend, I can tell you today that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the Almighty God. In fact, as the scripture said, he shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. My brothers and sisters, as powerful as God is, as wonderful as God is, he came down from heaven and implanted himself in the womb of a virgin girl and united humanity and divinity. And the great power of God caused it to happen to the point that all that was God is in Christ. And all that was man was in Christ. And God, for the sake of my lost soul, God, for the sake of my soul that was undone and lost without him, the Almighty Creator, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God of the universe, came down and became a man and died on a cross and rose again the third day. And wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sins. My friend, guess what? He's forgiven me of my sins and made it possible for me to enter into the power of the great God. I am Abraham. Don't worry about how this baby's going to be born, Abraham. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to take it apart. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to go to the laboratory and work out a formula for it. Just believe it, Abraham. The Almighty God is going to make you possible to father a child and make it possible for your wife to give birth. And my friend, it happened just like he said. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessings of God. And Lord, I thank you that in your wisdom and your grace and your truth, that you did a marvelous thing. You did a wonderful thing. The Almighty God came down, yes, to talk to Abraham. But Lord, you came down through Jesus Christ to talk to us. You came down to give us all that we need to get to heaven. And Lord, I read in that scripture that it said, we are complete in him. And Lord, you having invested all that of the greatness and goodness and power of God in one man, Christ Jesus, for the sake of all of us, my friend, you have also invested the Godhead in us as individuals. Father, bless your people. Touch your people. Convict your people. Draw us close to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.